Would you like to accelerate your career and reach your full potential in just minutes a day? Welcome to the LeadX Show with New York Times bestselling author and Inc. 500 entrepreneur, Kevin Cruz.
Hey everyone, congratulations and welcome to the LeadX Leadership Show. You've come back, you're investing your most valuable asset, your time, into this show, which means you want to become a better leader. You want to become a great boss. I applaud you and I thank you for that. Man, do I have a guest for you today? You know, I've interviewed dozens, over 100 different great people, and every now and then some of them just kind of get stuck in my head, and this guy is still stuck in my head, and I actually recorded the interview a couple weeks ago. Wait till you hear his bio. You're gonna hate him before you're gonna love him, because he's just so accomplished. You can't help but feel a little inadequate and also a little bit guilty, and that's not his intention. He's really into the environment and has a podcast, you know, all about leadership in the environment. And I would like to think that I care about the environment, but I just fessed up. I mean, as I was interviewing him on video, I was drinking from a plastic water bottle, you know, big no-no. I admitted to him that I get meal kits. That's how I've been able to stay pretty much on a plant-based diet for the last year. And I love these kits, but, you know, everything comes in little bottles and, you know, big boxes of stuff and ice packs. I mean, it's not cool. Anyway, he's a really nice guy. We really connected. But before I bring you that interview, I've got to remind you, visit leadx.org and get a free trial. You know, a lot of times I'm asked, I think a lot of our listeners are solopreneurs, want to be entrepreneurs, consultants, plan on retiring and going into consulting. And I get asked about, like, how do you build an audience? How do you get a brand? How do I get, you know, pretty healthy speaking fees these days when I'm out on the road? I recorded an entire personal branding curriculum, and it's inside the LeadX Academy. How to create your customer avatar, how to create your own magnetic marketing funnel, how to write viral articles, how to write for Forbes or whatever industry publication you want to, how to write an email newsletter that people actually open up and read, how to pitch podcasts, how to make your own podcast. Like, literally thousands of dollars of courses that I've spent my money to learn how to do and that I went out and did. I've now created my own versions of how to do it. And it's like very, very low, you know, investment each month. So just go to leadx.org, do the 3-day free trial and check it out. Hopefully it will work for you. Our quote of the week: he who plants trees loves others besides himself, from Thomas Fuller. All right, listen to this. Our guest today, he's an adjunct professor at NYU, a columnist at Inc. He's the host of the Leadership in the Environment podcast. He has 5 Ivy League degrees. And I'm not talking about any fluffy, like, history degrees. That's what I studied at Rutgers, by the way. I'm talking about, he has a PhD in astrophysics. He has an MBA. And he likes personal challenges. I don't think this guy's ever sat on the couch and watched, you know, reality TV. He's done over 100,000 burpees in his life. He swam across the Hudson River. He's visited North Korea twice. I don't know if anyone, I didn't think anyone wanted to visit North Korea more than once. He's reduced his consumption and waste enough to throw out his garbage less than once per year. He lives in New York City and he only accumulates one bag of garbage for an entire year. This is crazy. His new book, relevant to our podcast, is Leadership Step by Step: Become the Person Others Follow. Our guest is Dr. Joshua Spodek. Joshua, welcome to the show.
Thank you. Glad to be here.
Great to have you on. And I always ask all of our guests, no matter who they are or what kind of book they've written, you know, what leadership advice would you give to a new first-time manager?
The main thing I've learned is that no matter how much people think that other people just have some skill, they were born with it or something like that, everyone learned it from experience. Something, it wasn't just from reading things, they had to practice. And so anytime you see someone with a skill that you wish that you had, they learned it from something. Find out from them or find out how they learned it and practice what they learned or practice what they did to learn it, and you will develop that too. So you can never look at anyone and think they have something that I can't possibly get. It may be hard. It may take time. It may take practice. but you can get it. So that mindset is one of the most important things, in my opinion.
Fantastic advice. So I mentioned on the in the intro that your book is Leadership Step by Step: Become the Person Others Follow. So what's the big idea of the book? Why do we need another leadership book?
So if you want to, I think of leadership as a performance art. And if you want to learn, say you want to learn to be a musician, you could take a class in music appreciation. That'll give you history, and you'll learn about Bach and Beethoven, but you won't actually practice playing. So music appreciation won't hurt, but it doesn't exactly help. The reason I wrote this book is when I looked out in the world, I looked at all the leadership resources, all the books, all the courses, and to me, they were all leadership appreciation. Not going to hurt, but it's not going to give you the practice of leadership. And so my book is a set of exercises. I feel, to me, it's like, imagine you lived in a world in which anytime someone wanted to learn how to play piano, they'd say, okay, read this book, watch these videos, but not actually play. And then someone comes up with like playing scales. I give you scales, not just scales, but not just from the beginning level, but taking you all the way up to very advanced leadership stuff.
And listeners, this is the key point. When it's leadership step by step, just as Joshua described, I mean, I've written some of these books that are good, but it's about leadership or some research. To me, this is like a course. It's like if you could hire Joshua to be your personal teacher for a while. I mean, this is what's in the book. There's the lessons and the application exercises. It's very applied. It's very hands-on. But Josh, I want to follow up on something you said, leadership as performance art. And I think some of my listeners out there might be thinking, whoa, wait a minute, you know, I'm supposed to be an authentic leader. Is Joshua telling me that leadership is acting? I need to be an actor?
The more that you practice, the more that the technique becomes just inside of you and you emerge. So any actor, Meryl Streep, give her a script. The first time she reads it, it's going to be wooden. It's not going to be her coming out. Once you learn the script and you learn the character, or same with a musician, same with an athlete playing their plays, same with the military. When you practice the basics, basic training, and only if you are concentrating on how do I do this, then you're not coming out. You have to practice it and practice it until you're so adept at it that you don't think about it. Just like, I mean, when you first learn to talk or you first learn to walk, you couldn't do it very well. You had to think of where your foot was going to go when you stepped. Once you've done it enough, you don't think about walking when you walk, you just do it. And if you're thinking about how to lead while you're trying to lead, you're not going to lead very effectively. When you've practiced enough that you know what you're doing, when you're doing it, then you can start concentrating on the other person. And it's really their emotions, their motivations that motivate them. So if you're concentrating on yourself, that's what you do when you practice and you rehearse. Then when you have it down perfectly, then you can, or not perfectly, but you know, well enough, then you can go out and concentrate on the crowd, the people that you're leading, the situation at hand.
Yeah. And so this is, I think I know the answer to this question, but you mentioned the military, and it was a couple years ago, I was invited out to do a speech with some Marine Corps officers out in California. And I have the world of respect for those who have served and are serving, but I've never served myself. I was very intimidated by going in to talk leadership to a bunch of Marines. And when the first colonel that I met, Marine Corps colonel, introduced himself and he immediately sort of growled, "So, Kevin, are leaders born or made?" Now, this was a softball question because he was the guy that ran basic training. So he was making leaders, but I was so nervous and off my game, I sort of froze. But how would you answer that? Are leaders born or made? And or is there some innate stuff that gives people an edge?
I always shift the question to, can I improve as a leader? Because everyone can improve. Now, can I improve anyone else? I've not been able to improve someone who has no interest in it. So someone who doesn't care, I'm not sure what I can do for them. But someone who cares, I can improve anyone to whatever level they're willing to take the practice to. If you practice a little bit, you'll get a little bit better. If you practice a lot, you'll get a lot better. Now, there's one thing, is that not everyone can lead in any area. So the example I always think of here is like General Patton was a great leader. He put him in a tank battle, that's who you want leading. Oprah Winfrey, a great leader. Manifestly, she's huge. I mean, the number of followers she has is incredible. And what they do for her, their loyalty is great. Now, Would Oprah be a great tank commander? I don't think so. Would Patton be a great talk show host? I also don't think so. So just because you want to lead in something doesn't mean you can lead in something, but can you lead? Yes. I mean, most parents find this out. A baby's born and suddenly they're very effective. Life changes. And you expect that to happen. You can make similarly dramatic changes in your life if you choose to. It's hard for a lot of people. Some people rise to the occasion, some people don't. But you can. And that's why you have resources that, you know, some people get really lucky. When they're 10 years old, some small leadership challenge hits them. When they're 15, a modest one hits them. When they're 20, kind of big one hits them. By the time they're in the professional world, life gave them a series of tests that they rose up to. And it looks to the outside world like they were born with it because they've succeeded at every level. Now, some people get at 5 years old or 10 years old, they get this mammoth leadership thing and they can't handle. And they struggle and they think, ah, leadership, I just can't do it. But had it gone in a different order or the challenge had been slightly different, they might have been able to rise to that one. So I think a lot of people, I don't think anyone's born with the ability to lead. I mean, we can't even talk. And so we have to learn all these different skills, talking being one of them, walking being another. Not everyone has to walk. And so it looks to the outside world like a lot of people were born with it. But everyone had to learn it. There's nothing that anyone does that they didn't learn somehow along the way. I mean, breathing, but that's not really a leadership skill.
Now, we talked about how your book is very unique and that it's really like a course. And you start in the book with self-awareness, which I agree in our LeadX Academy, and we use the Big Five personality assessment and do a lot of work there. I think it's tough to be an effective leader, a strong leader, if you really don't have a lot of self-awareness. So describe a little bit the exploration and the exercises that you offer to readers in your book in this first area.
Okay, so yeah, also, yeah, I have to put it, I'm going to put it in a little context because the really exciting stuff is at the end of the book is we're leading others. And when I do the corporate stuff, it's always from there. You can really learn effective leadership skills. And if you don't have self-awareness, you can really lead people in circles or go in directions that that aren't interesting to you. You can make a lot of money and be unhappy, or you can be happy but have no means of living, you know? And so self-awareness is a big piece of it. So at the beginning, there's a lot of work on how your mind works, your self-talk, the voice that's going on inside your head all the time. And then what that leads to is, you know, the beliefs that we have that color the perception of everything around us. We have access to that through the mental chatter that's going on inside our head. So I have some exercises to make that come out and you become aware of it. Now, you can get the same thing through months and months of meditating, and that will give you something different. But this is really fast. And you'll get, now for the mystic, it's totally different, but for the leader, you get the value right away of access to how your mind works, how you process everything around you, everything that comes in, how you perceive other people. And it starts leading into how you express yourself. How do you find ways of improving yourself, which is leading into the second unit, which is on leading yourself. And these beliefs that I have to, you know, a lot of how we interact with the world is more the beliefs that we have, say, of other people than the actual other person. I mean, usually you describe most people through like 5 or 10 adjectives. They're much more to the person than 5 or 10 adjectives. But that's how we work. I mean, we can't process everything all the time. Our brains can't handle everything. It's a big universe. And so being able to recognize the beliefs and how we interact with people mediated through them gives you a big lever into how you lead yourself.
Great stuff. And I want to shift just a little bit with our remaining time because, as I mentioned in your bio at the beginning of the show, there's a lot about you that is fascinating and gives us mere mortals reason to be envious. You know, whether it's your burpees, your swimming across the Hudson River. I hope to be invited to a cocktail party that you're at so I can ask you about visiting North Korea twice. But right before we went on the air, you shared with me, you know, your podcast is Leadership in the Environment. You're very passionate about the environment. And you blew me away. You mentioned that now you're living in New York City, and you said the last time you emptied your garbage was June of last year. We're recording in June of 2018. It's been over a year, and you're about ready to empty your garbage. And this is an area where if you asked me, Kevin, do you value the environment? Oh, absolutely, I do. You know, do you care about climate change? You care about all of these things? Oh, absolutely. And yet, this is an area where I'm not living my values. And you would be horrified, Joshua, because just about a year ago, I went to a plant-based diet. And the only way that it's kind of stuck with me for the year is that I subscribe to a meal delivery service. So what? <Yeah. laughs> Joshua just winced, you know.
Yeah, that's a lot of landfill.
Once a week, a cardboard box shows up, and it's all marked recyclable and stuff, but a cardboard box with a big frozen, you know, brick in it, and a lot of food with plastic packages and little pre-measured things in plastic bottles shows up. Yeah. Hey, it's great that I'm not eating cows. It's great for my health, but not so, like, I see that box and I cringe, and I still drink from the plastic water bottles in the airport instead of bringing it empty, and a lot of other things. And with three kids in the house and Amazon showing up every day, I mean, amount of garbage. Like, I think I'm probably filling a landfill. So how in the world are you finding a way to use one sack of garbage in a year?
Well, I mean, the short answer is practice, because when I first started avoiding packaged food, I didn't know what to do. I went to the store. I'm like looking at the stuff I normally get. I'm like, well, that's in a box. That's in a bag. That's in a can. That's a rubber band. That's a sticker. And it was really hard. I was born into a world that had a lot of pollution in it, and I don't want to pollute the world. And I don't want to leave it any worse than I have to. Of course, you have to pollute some, as far as I can tell. And so at the beginning, it was maybe took 2 weeks to take out the garbage. Then it was like a couple months. And it took a long time to work up to a year. And I have role models. There's Lauren Singer. Everything for like years fits in a jar. So, you know, the last thing I do is compare myself to the typical American, because that's like the lowest bar you can imagine of pollution. And I want to point out, I'm passionate about the environment. I'm really passionate about leadership in the environment, because there's a lot of environmental stuff out there that's based on guilt and blame and doom and gloom, spreading facts, and people expect that spreading facts is going to change behavior. It rarely does. And yet people really care about the environment. And so what I'm trying to share on my podcast is, the podcast is just the beginning, is for me, it's about joy. It's about discovery. It's about growth. That's the leadership part, meaning, purpose, value. The way you talk about when you get the packaging,
yeah,
I contrast that with when I go to the farmer's market, especially now in the late spring, it's going to be summer soon. The vegetables are amazing. I'm like going crazy, but like the bok choy just came in and I just made this stew with, I'm just mixing stuff together with rhubarb, this burdock root that I just started getting, really bitter, and it tastes delicious. All right, okay. I don't want to go into details about that. When I first started going to the farmer's market, I had no idea what any of that stuff was. I mean, my sister volunteered there so she could show me around. I was like, I didn't know what a turnip was. I mean, I knew what they were, but I never got a rutabaga. And then you just start getting stuff and getting stuff. And then it took me a good year before my food wasn't really bland, because all I could get was like broccoli and cauliflower. And like, I would just steam it and put salt and pepper on it. It was like, I wouldn't invite people over for that. But I don't like polluting, and I don't like bland, and I do like delicious. So gradually I practiced and learned how to mix this with that and so forth. And eventually it started tasting better and better and better. And last winter is when I first started looking forward to going to the farmer's market, even in February, when it's really just kohlrabi and cabbage and all these root vegetables. And I knew how to put them together into something really delicious. It took a year. It's the same as leadership, same as any performance, anything. It's, you got to practice, and you got to make mistakes, and you got to deal with, for a while, you're going to suck.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I did for a while, but now it's like, not polluting, I like, because a big part of my life, a big shift in my life was from doing things for myself to really getting a lot more value about from responsibility and accountable and helping others. And so I really value not polluting other people's worlds. But that's nothing compared to how much more delicious my food is. I mean, it's to my taste. Everyone's got their own taste. When you come over, I'll make you one of my famous special stews.
Awesome.
I think you'll like it. I definitely love it. I don't know if I was talking too much, but you got me talking about something I'm really passionate about.
No, this is fascinating to me. And it sounds like, again, sort of moving away from packaged foods has been one of the number one things. And I'm assuming when you do buy things from, you know, physical objects, you're looking for things that you can recycle the packaging. I mean, I just think about the quantity of stuff myself and Americans, you know, seem to buy. Like, you, and maybe you're a minimalist. Is that part of it as well?
I do try to avoid get, I mean, it's reduce, then reuse, then recycle. So recycling is like the last thing I do. What I try to do most is not accept things. So when people come over to my place, someone's coming over to my place tomorrow night, and he emailed me, what should I bring? And I sent him a link to my post. It's like, you don't have to bring anything, but if you bring anything, please no packaging.
Right.
And people, actually, a lot of my garbage is garbage that other people came and left.
They're getting rid of their garbage with you.
Yeah. And years ago, this wall over here was full of, it was all books from college. Mm-hmm. And I gradually got rid of books and books. And eventually I got rid of virtually all of them. I have a couple of books over there because I teach with them. But the more that I got rid of, the more free I felt. And I have a library across the street from me. I can get whatever book I want. Most stuff is online pretty easily. And I found the freedom was greater than the value of the freedom was greater than the value of the books. And then it started going into other areas of my life and getting rid of more and more things. And so the more that I get rid of, the more freedom I felt. And the more my, I don't know if this is going to be obvious how this works, but the more that my relationships with other people became about what we care about, our values, and less about news, sports, weather, traffic on the way over. I don't really talk about those things except with someone I know. If I'm never going to talk to someone for more than 5 minutes, whatever. But people I deal with, a lot of my book came out of this discovery of connecting with people. You know, meaningful connection exercise is the big one that people like me to do the most. And I connect with, compared to before when I was in physics, I was always standing by the drinks, like at parties and social events, just kind of like, I don't know what to say to anyone. I thought everyone knew each other already. And now it's much more about meeting people. And that connection, I don't know if it's obvious how that making it less about material stuff and more about value, meaning, purpose. Who is this person? How can I make them feel comfortable sharing themselves with me? How can we feel comfortable being vulnerable with each other? And then when you work with them in teams and you lead them, you emerge as the leader of a team when people feel comfortable sharing their interests with you and you can honor that and lead them in ways that they want to be led. You emerge as a leader. And when it's not appropriate for you to lead, you're happy to follow so that others can lead.
Love it. And again, we'll have the opportunity, Joshua, for you to send us wherever you want. But I do want to mention again, your podcast is Leadership and the Environment. I always like to end by challenging my listeners. You know, I say, you know, we need to be lifelong learners. We need to be learning every day, getting a little bit better. Give us something that we can experiment with or try today, either something from the environmental side of thing, something from your book more directly about, you know, leadership or an exercise. What's something that we could try, you know, in the next day?
So since you asked about the self-awareness stuff, the first exercise in the book, actually the second exercise in the book, is to write down your inner monologue. It can be very hard, but very revealing. And so when I do it in class and I'll ask someone to volunteer, can you share what you're thinking? And almost always they say, well, I'm thinking about what I'm going to do tomorrow. Thinking about something is not the same as the actual words going in your head. As you're listening to me now, you might be thinking something like, huh, my words in my head? What words in my head can I really think about? And it's like, you know, if you're American, it's probably in English. Try to write those down. Now, I give the exercise to do it 3 or 4 times a day for a week because at first it's like drinking from a fire hose. And like your thoughts are too fast. You can't keep up. So if you do it a couple times today, you'll get somewhere. It's hard, but it's amazingly revealing. You learn so much about yourself. If you look it up on my blog, it's called The Most Effective Self-Awareness Exercise That I Know. And here's the thing. Costs you nothing. You don't have to tell anyone you're doing it. You know, all you need is a piece of paper and a pencil or a pen. You can do it on your computer if you want. The first couple times it's going to be hard, but you'll find that you can do it. And it gives you insight into yourself. And it costs you nothing.
Can't get better than that. Joshua, how can our listeners find out more about you and your work?
I would go to my blog page. So it's joshuaspodek.com, joshuaspodek.com. And that's also where the podcast is. So you can do /podcast or just click on podcast there. And that's the Leadership in the Environment podcast. Then if you're curious about the book, Leadership Step by Step, the best place to check out is Amazon. Is just read the reviews. It's a lot of people who have done the exercises have come back and shared their experiences. And I think they give the best impression of it because they did what a potential reader would. They went through the process.
We will put all of those links into the show notes, of course. Joshua, thanks for coming on to the show, and I look forward to that vegetable stew.
I look forward to making it for you.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Hey, before I go, I have to ask a favor. If you liked this episode of the LeadX Leadership Podcast, please take 1 minute and leave a rating on iTunes. Don't know how? Just open your web browser, type in leadx.org/subscribe, and it will bounce you over to iTunes. Just click on ratings and click some stars. Leave a comment if you really want to get crazy with it. And when you're done, let us know by sending an email to info@leadx.org. And we will send you back a special link that will let you in to our private VIP group on Facebook. Just in the last month, we sent out 2 or 3 dozen different books from our guests. We gave everyone free and early access to our new online personality assessment. And our VIPs even got to ask IBM Watson their management and leadership questions. I hope you have a great week, and I hope you will also remember that leadership is influence, which means you are always leading. This week, lead with intent.